Hey, Lana, how are you? Diane.
Good. Hi, Diane, how are you?
Good. I was online waiting. I was worried that I was going to be alone tonight.
Oh, no.
I think Elaine was on. Elaine was... Yeah, you are. Last, and 2 weeks ago, I think there were, I don't even know if Elaine was on alone for a while, too. I think, I don't know, it's just the time they're getting really busy, and we haven't started on spring break. I think next week is the first week a couple people on spring break, so.
Cool.
Well, so how are things going? What's been going on for you the last couple weeks?
Well, you know, things have been going pretty well. My son, he's 14, and he's been doing his work pretty well. That was like the biggest thing for us this year, was him becoming more independent. So, you know, for the most part, it's been going well. He's just hit a snag this week with a long-term history paper where he kind of took some missteps, and it got him derailed a little. But I think he can, from the sounds of it, talking to his teacher today, he's going to be able to get back on track and get back, you know, get the train back on the track and keep going. But, you know, I think he gets bored with something like this, and it's not his favorite subject, and they're doing a project on the Black Death.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that would, you know, be a lot to have to study that for a long period, like for several weeks. But
yeah, no, it's a couple of things. I mean, it's the lack of interest generally. I mean, it's not the most exciting topic in the world. And the other piece of it is they do get bored. I mean, it's a long time to focus on the same thing over, you know, I don't know how many weeks he's been working on it, but I think that that's one of the things that ends up happening is that these projects go on and on and on, and it's, you know, trying to find ways to make it, what's the word? So it's like, you know, new and different and exciting, and there's a word for it that's not coming to me. But, you know, it's
the novelty.
How do you, novelty, yes, exactly. So it's, you know, how do you create some novelty, you know, to keep them engaged and motivated. And, and part of it is, you know, about breaking it down into smaller pieces. And part of it is, you know, the topic we're going to talk about today, which is, you know, celebrating the process and the progress and not necessarily just the end point and things like that. But it's difficult because it takes a long time, and they need help, and they want to be independent. That's the piece of it. They want to be independent. It gets in the way. So what's specifically really difficult for you about it?
I think for me is not wanting to jump in and fix it. So I really, you know, it came up yesterday, and I really, but I've been learning about this about myself. So I really just took a step back, and I have to say this has really come from, you know, having the coaching from your group, but I really was able to take a step back and say, everything's going to be fine. He's going to do well in ninth grade. He's going to, you know, finish the year fine. You know, this is something he needs to go through. This is a learning process. He has a tutor who meets with him once a week. She is awesome in executive functioning, like helping him keep on track. And that was really how it came to light, right? So he had several days yet to fix this problem. So it wasn't like a huge dire, oh, my God, kind of upset. But I definitely brought a different attitude to the situation. So that was huge. That was really huge for me.
And so how does the different attitude change the dynamic?
It was calm. I was calm. I was, and, you know, he was upset. And I pretty much stated, okay, let's just take one step, you know, the next step and the next step, you know, one step at a time. And let's talk about solutions. Let's get strategies going. Let's get some solutions going, like, so that I was able to help him not be weighed down and overwhelmed by the situation. And that was pretty awesome. I mean, I definitely had a clear head on my shoulders last night. So
what a wonderful gift to give yourself and to give your son.
I know, right? I get to celebrate me for a minute.
Well, I want you to celebrate you for a minute because it's huge. And it sounds like you can really see how it made a difference. And I know that it's a big step for you. I mean, it's a big step for a lot of us. And it's hard not to get into that reaction mode.
It is. It really is. But I mean, I think that, you know, the coaching and then some of my own personal work that I'm doing, I'm really trying to figure out how to be in the world without having to fix everybody. And I think that I don't have ADD and I'm in a family that does. And it's easy for me to take that role. And that, you know, and that's kind of been my nature. I'll fix everything. I'll be the big support system, you know. And it was pointed out to me a long time ago from his specialist. It's like, okay, you're jumping in again, you know. So I've known about it for a while, but it's just taken me some time and some different types of work to kind of really make that shift.
Well, and part of the, to let you off the hook a little bit, part of the challenge in it is that when they're younger, it really is your job to be the executive function for the whole household, really, and maybe not the whole household, but at least for the kids. And
yeah.
You get into that habit and you get into that process and it's like you're doing things for your kid and then all of a sudden you're doing things for your husband and then you're doing things for your husband and you're doing things for your daughter. I mean, it's just, it's easy to get into that pattern. And I think the other piece of it that's pretty understandable is that this is a situation where that we don't have a lot of control over. And, you know, it's our child. And it's their brain, and even if we get that this is a natural part of their ADHD, it's something we feel like we're out of control. And what's the natural human response when we feel out of control?
To jump in and do something.
Yes, exactly. You try to control absolutely everything then. So it's like you're grabbing for control wherever you can find it, and so it makes perfect sense that you would jump in and try to manage and micromanage absolutely everything. So
right. And I think the other interesting part is, for me anyway, is that sometimes when I see a situation where, wow, I look at it and go, well, they're not doing that. It's hard for them to do that. And I think, it's so easy for me. I could do that. Yeah. And it's almost like this, well, let me just do it then, you know? And there's something very tempting about that.
Well, and it is, and I think that the great thing is that if you're aware of it, and sometimes you do choose to do it yourself, and that's okay, and you have to understand the consequence of that. You know, so if your goal is to help your child to be more independent, but you're constantly jumping in, the natural effect is that your child is not going to be as independent.
Mm-hmm.
So. Hey, who just joined us?
Hello.
Hi, it's Diane. Who's this?
This is Carrie.
Hi, Carrie. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. I'm on with Lana, and we were just talking about a celebration she had this week because she was able to stay calm and not jump in to a situation with her son. So, so we're celebrating.
Hi, Carrie.
And we are a small group tonight. Carrie, you want to check in and let us know how things are going for you?
Not great. This is the first time I've ever done one of these calls, so bear with me. I'm not really sure exactly how it works, but I don't know how I should go about, you know, should I tell you my background or?
Well, and I didn't realize that you hadn't been on one of these calls before, Carrie. So let me roll you back just a second and kind of let you know how we typically handle it.
Okay.
At the beginning of the call, everybody does a quick check-in. How have things been going specifically in the last couple of weeks? And then we'll take aim on a particular challenge area. And then I'll talk about our topic for the week. We'll have some conversation about the topic, and then we'll do some specifics in terms of what you want to do with the information that you learned.
Okay.
But since you haven't been to the group before, I know that a lot of the people in the group will be listening to our recording today. And so, you know, if you want to just kind of give us the introduction, you know, to you, where do you live, how old's your child, and, you know, kind of maybe one or two of the biggest challenges are that you're struggling with, and maybe give us the the Cliff Notes version rather than the long version?
Sure.
To start at least, and we'll do a little coaching and kind of dig out a little bit more from there.
All right. So I'm in Maryland. I have a 7-year-old son and a 14-year-old daughter. My son is my challenge. He's ADHD and ODD. And we had a few good months, and the last about 3 weeks has been much more difficult. His tantrums are pretty big, a lot of hitting and throwing things, urinating wherever he happens to be because he's upset. He put a hole in the wall about a week ago. He also has some sleep issues that we feel are tied in, but there's also a possibility that he's got a mood disorder. So things are just kind of rocky right now, and I'm really worn out.
It makes perfect sense that it would be exhausting. Lana and I were just talking about the fact that when you're in a situation where you feel like you don't have any control, you know, the natural response is try to over control, and when you do that, it gets exhausting.
Right, exactly.
So what is it that you've been focusing on working with him over the last couple weeks? Is there anything in particular that you've been
getting him we've been working on since he was little, but one of the big things is getting him to use his words and tell us, instead of screaming and running around throwing things and hitting people and things, to tell us what's wrong. And that's a continuous challenge. And, and then a switch flips and he's fine. But, up until that point, he's just kind of swinging and throwing things and won't tell us, what's wrong. So, it's a matter of him, literally using his words. I mean, and he sometimes seems to not have the ability to do that. That's the big thing that we're working on lately.
Well, and it can be frustrating because you want to be able to help, but if you can't communicate, it's hard to know where to interject. And I was just was on the phone with a client, and we were talking about they've got a 9-year-old who's got a lot of the same sorts of issues. And when they get into that, we call it the threat mode. And I don't know if you've heard us talk about threat mode before, but it's like your brain shuts down and your choices are fight or run away. And so if he's in that place, really the focus, the only focus that is productive is trying to find a way to get him to calm down, that all the logic and all the other stuff and the use your words may not even make sense because it's like you're talking a different language to them almost.
Right. Oh, yes. And it's just hard to know how to react. I think we've done a good job at, trying to maintain calmness, at least on the outside when he does this. And but it's just difficult. I mean, he's getting bigger and certainly stronger. And it's just, sometimes we're at a real loss for, what else to do as he, makes holes in his walls and I don't know. So.
Yeah, I know, and I can hear your challenge. So let's figure out, did you want to take aim on? So the first thing we do is we identify what we're going to take aim on. And so I don't know if you kind of looked through the parenting action model, but the process is take aim, create a plan, try something out, and then rinse and repeat is kind of the way we do it. So identify and get real clear on what particular challenge you're going to focus in on. Is it helping him to calm down? Is it helping him to use his words? Where in the process are you, and what's the right place to take aim? And Lana, I'd ask you the same thing. It's kind of like, what is it that you want to take aim on as we talk about championing and celebrating, which is our topic for this week?
I would say for me, getting him to calm down, get a handle on him, on himself. That's, at this point, as with these kids, that could change in 2 days, but I mean, that seems to be currently our biggest issue. And again, I think it ties into sleep. That's another issue we're working on, but right now I would like to work on getting him to calm down when he flies off the handle so easily.
Great. So, Lana, what do you want to focus in on?
Well, I think actually celebrating the positive things, and that's, I've been kind of working on that now for some time, because it's so easy to point out what's going wrong, or not to point out what's going wrong, but to kind of say, you know, because I was sharing this earlier, that I'm the person who kind of runs the house, you know, it's like I'm the person who doesn't have the ADD, so I'm constantly going, okay, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this? Did you do that? And sometimes the amount of conversation with my 14-year-old boy can be just that, because he's busy, he's got homework and friends and, you know, computer, whatever. So I'd really like, I mean, I've been on this path, but I'm trying to find more times where I can say, my dialogue with him is about the positive things that he's doing. And not always, like, the first go-to thing I say is, oh, did you do this? Did you do that? Does that make sense?
Right. And so, yeah, no, it does. And it's, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. And it sounds like what you're taking aim on is improving the relationship with your son by doing more of focusing on positivity. Is that fair?
Yes, definitely.
And you're right. It is really easy, because our kids get a lot of opportunities to screw up. You know, it's,
yeah.
And, They're constantly being corrected, and they're constantly, you know, having challenges. And, you know, one of the things that I've talked about on a couple of these calls this week is, you know, the ratio of, you know, positive comments, positive feedback to correction. And, you know, the statistic that I heard is that for every one correction that you give, you should have at least three positive comments. So three positive to one correction. And if you're trying to improve a relationship and you're trying to have an intimate relationship with someone, that ratio actually needs to be 5 to 1. And so it's really difficult, because, you know, our kids are constantly doing something wrong. And so we're constantly saying, did you do this? Did you do that? Or, you know, like you were just saying, Lana, you know, they come home from school and, you know, you're running around, they're running around, and you know, you've got to absolutely talk about school and homework and the stuff that's got to get done. And you end up being very business-oriented and business-like instead of being focused on connecting it and connecting with your kid. And,
yeah.
And I see Wendy, you just joined us. Hi,
yeah,
I'm glad to meet us tonight.
Thank you.
So we were just figuring out, everybody could get a quick check-in. We got Lana and Carrie both on with us, and we were just talking about what we were going to take aim on for the week, and I was getting started in our conversation about championing and celebrating. Do you want to do a quick check-in and let us know what you want to focus in on this week as well, Wendy?
About championing and celebrating? Oh, wow.
Yeah, is there a particular challenge area that you're really struggling with right now?
Him just following the rules lately, it's just still been, you know, the boundaries, and he's just testing, and, you know, he's 10, he's going into sixth grade next year, so it's, we moved to a new neighborhood, so he's got new friends, so it's just been a little rough as far as setting the boundaries and, you know, time limits, and,
yeah.
So, but we're celebrating small successes. So.
Well, and so that's a great entree, and that's the other piece of it. So the first one is about, you know, the ratio and you know, getting to the point where we're celebrating as much as we're critiquing and criticizing and redirecting. The other piece of this is about celebrating the successes on the path. And so, you know, a lot of times we get really focused on the outcome, and homework's a great example where, okay, until that assignment's done, you got to stay at it and you got to keep working. And the reality is that for a lot of our kids, it's a lot of effort to get an entire assignment done. And so even saying, okay, every time you get another problem done or another five, let's celebrate, let's do a happy dance. And I still remember when my son was younger, sitting with a timer and saying, okay, let's see how many of these problems, you know, we've got 20 problems to do, or we've got 15 problems to do. Let's see how many we can do in 10 minutes. And then we'll do a dance to celebrate. And so, you know, the first time we did the 10 minutes, you got 8 problems done. And then the next time you got, you know, 7 problems done. And so you just, you know, you break it up and you celebrate the interim steps, because sometimes, number one, sometimes our kids don't get to the end. But number two, it helps to motivate. And success breeds success. And I love that quote. It's like success breeds success. And so if you can see, and you can, this is true for us and it's true for our kids, if you can be if that success is highlighted for us instead of what's breaking down, then it can give you more motivation, encourage you to do more, and to continue to do even better. So that's the second piece of celebrating. And the third piece is that, you know, it's important to, because it's hard, not just when you're doing long assignments, and Vana, you started talking about this long-term history paper that he's working on, about getting derailed in the middle of it. You know, the other thing is that sometimes even the simplest of steps to us are actually multiple steps. And the one that, the example that we give in the workbook as we're talking about celebrating is, you know, taking the dishes from the table to the dishwasher. And this actually happened at our dinner table tonight. And, you know, my kids are 13 and 14. And, you know, they get the dishes and they get to the counter and they set them down. And then it's like, no, they're supposed to put them in the dishwasher. And so, you know, you want to, instead of just saying, come on, get them in the dishwasher, it needs to be, thank you so much for getting the dishes, you know, to the counter. Let's get them in the dishwasher. You know, so you want to celebrate what they did accomplish without, you know, judging that they didn't do the whole thing. And it's hard because it's kind of like, well, you got the dishes to the counter, but you didn't get them in the dishwasher. Well, anytime you use that word but, it erases everything that you just said before it. So you're really not celebrating. You're really judging the fact that they didn't do, you know, the second piece of it. So lots of stuff about celebrating and about championing, which is the other piece of this, which is being our child's champion and being their cheerleader and standing behind them and having their back, which is really a fun part of our job. And that's one of the reasons I like this tip, is because it really is those moments that we get to have some fun. Instead of telling our kid everything they're doing wrong, we get to celebrate with them and succeed with them. So what thoughts come up for the three of you as we talk about celebration and championing?
Well, we did get a long assignment sort of done, but then, you know, I'm like still very confused with the new school system out here. So they, I do champion that he stuck up for, I should just switch gears. And today I found out that he stuck up to a bully and told the bully, he stuck up to a bully today and told him that he didn't want to, the bully asked him if he wanted to play with him and his friends. They're 5 years older. And Sean said, no, I don't want to play with you guys. So to me, that was really good because I didn't think there would be anything good coming out of him playing with these older kids. So I thought that was really brave of him to say, no, I don't want to play with you.
Yeah, that's great. And that's something. So what did you do to celebrate, Wendy?
Well, we didn't do anything yet. We came in and ate, and he's doing his homework now. So while I'm on group call. So, but we will. I did tell him that he could have some extra time on the computer when his homework was done. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. So. Well, what came up for anybody else as we were talking about celebrating?
I don't know. I'm kind of the mindset. I didn't look at the workbook. This, as I said, this is my first call, and I'm actually having a difficult time right now. So I feel like my mindset is not. We definitely do a lot of labeled praise, but I feel like my mindset right now is not appropriate for this particular. I understand that it's important to, you know, celebrate the good things he does, but I'm just feeling really down right now. And I feel like
that.
It's a big struggle. So I don't know this is the appropriate call for me tonight. And I don't mean any disrespect. And I know it's very difficult for him, but I was confused about, I guess I didn't look in as to what this group was about tonight. And again, I don't want to be misunderstood that don't understand that we have to celebrate the small successes, but right now, I guess it's just not something that I'm right now. I feel like I can't see them right now.
No, and that makes perfect sense because you're overwhelmed. And I think so. If Lana and Wendy will let me spend just a few minutes, and you know, I'm not going to try to get you to that happy place, but it sounds like you're in a really different place right now. Do you want to spend some time kind of digging into where you're at?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm having a very difficult time right now, and like I said, I think it's just my mindset. You know, I'll snap out of it, and things will be fine, and things will get better, and it's just lots of hills and valleys, like I'm sure everyone knows. It's just hard to explain. I know that there's a lot of, he's good most of the time, but when we have these episodes, they're just so horrendous and difficult to deal with that right now I kind of feel like I'm at the bottom of a hole.
And it's hard to see your way out because you feel like is this my life? This is overwhelming. I don't know that I can live this way. It's kind of what I'm sensing from you.
Right now I just feel kind of very discouraged. You know, we see a therapist every week. He's on medication. You know, we're very structured. We try to, you know, do what we have learned is supposed to be the right thing, and it just doesn't seem to work sometimes. So it's just discouraging, and I also worry about the future. I know I shouldn't, you know, project to the future. I definitely worry about the here and now, but as far as, you know, is he ever going to be able to control his emotions, you know, and function as a it's just, I don't know. So I don't want to bring the group down. That's my other concern.
My guess is that, you know, we've all been there, and I think that, you know, we obviously haven't been in your exact situation, but I think that it's easy when you have those time periods where things are just not going at all, and there is, you know, as difficult as you just described, you literally shut down. And so it's, you know, you don't have reasonable access to the part of you who knows, yes, there's a bright future out there for my son who's urinating in our house right now.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You know, can I just give you permission to be where you're at and to know that you're clear that it's your mindset, but the reality is that it's a really tough situation too.
Right.
So it's finding the balance and figuring out how long, you know, how long do you want to stay where you're at, and then, you know, figuring out when it gets in the way of what you want to accomplish.
Right.
And then figuring out when you're ready to stick your head out of the hole, if you can.
Right.
Support you need.
As we talk, I'm thinking, you know, because I always do try to be grateful for the small things. And actually, as we were talking and I was saying that, I thought of one of the things that I do try to, you know, praise him for. He actually is doing, he's able to hold himself together in school pretty well. He's got a very good teacher. And luckily, these episodes are not occurring in school, which I'm very, very grateful for. And, you know, I try to tell him that that's really good, you know, and so that is one bright spot that I still try to continue to see, you know, through all this.
That's the backside of it is like, why do I get the bad kid? You know, the happy kid.
Well, I'd rather though, you know, in the grand scheme of things, though, we'd definitely rather have him behave like that at home than for other people who don't love him. although
yeah,
it makes it very difficult for us. But
yeah. My son does that too. He holds it in all day until he gets home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I've heard of a lot of them doing that. Which it, you know, in a way, it's, you know, and they know they're safe at home, but it just makes it run at home. But it's right.
No.
So
I know.
Yeah.
So
how does knowing that he does hold it together all day, and it's just really an outlet, a different kind of outlet for him when he gets home. How does that help you to view the situation differently?
I don't know. I guess, like I said, you know, it's a an indicator, I guess, that he feels safe enough at home to, you know, let it all out. I'm not sure. Part of it also makes me think, well, you know, like when he's having these episodes, he's very out of control, and I always do remember, you know, it's a disability and there's, you know, neurological things going on, and he can't control, he seems like he really genuinely can't control it, but then I think he is able to hold it together all day, so there is a modicum of control somewhere, and so that just confuses me, actually, a little bit, you know, as to, it's just very complicated, all of the, it's just difficult to understand, and I overthink things, definitely. Quite often.
Yeah. Well, and it's easy to do because you see your kid behaving a certain way sometimes, and then when they can't behave that way all the time, it makes you wonder whether there's something sneaky going on, kind of.
Right, exactly.
So sneaky or backhanded, and it's a natural reaction because you can see it, but at the same time, you understand the neurobiology of it, and you understand that
right.
they're exhausted, and you understand that they're holding it all together. And it's just a matter of finding a way to balance, you know, and create a perspective that makes you feel okay and makes you feel, you know, brave enough to be the kind of mom that you want to be in this situation. Does that make
sense?
Right, right. So how do you want to show up when he has a rough day like that?
What's that? I'm sorry?
How do you want to show up as a mom when he has a really rough day?
I mean, I want to be there for him. I want him to let me, you know, like, I want him to talk to me and be able to tell me I'm really upset because I don't, you didn't let me do that. It's just, he goes from zero to 75 in like 2 seconds flat. But I want to be a supportive mother. I want to do what's best for him. I don't know if I'm answering the question like you, I'm not sure if I understand the question completely, so I'm not sure if I'm answering it appropriately.
Well, you're answering it just fine, and I think that what you're describing is that you're feeling helpless
yes.
in that situation because
yes.
you want to be able to help and you can't. And so it's natural when you're feeling like you can't do anything that it's stress. It's a stress-producing situation. It's really difficult to be in that environment where it's like, I want to help my kid. He can't communicate to me. I get that he probably can't communicate it to me, but it doesn't help me to help him.
Right. He's just unreachable, I mean, when he's like this. I mean, you just can't, there's no getting through to him. He woke up at 4:30 this morning screaming bloody murder, and we still don't know why. You know, when we came to try to help him, you know, is he having stomach ache? And he just starts hitting us and throwing things around the room. So it's just, yes, I want to help him, but I just can't. And it just, helpless is the perfect word for it. And it's, you know, that's one of many words that I would use to describe it. But, you know, you just, I want to help him and be there and be supportive, but he doesn't allow it sometimes.
So one of the things I would say that is helpful for people who are feeling like they're helpless and that they can't do anything is to find something to do, you know, find some action and find some, you know, whether it's a routine or almost like a ritual that you do when your child gets really triggered. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's something to help them calm down, whether it's, you know, touching them on the shoulder consistently or giving them a hug or saying a few, you know, calming words or whatever it is. But it's kind of this ritual that you create that ideally helps your child to calm down so that you can then have the follow-up conversation at some point, which is the what happened, what's going on, why are you so upset, which there's no way they're going to be able to answer that in the middle of a trigger. But
right.
it also helps you feel like you're doing something because you're sitting there going, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. If you have a ritual that you follow where it's like, okay, whenever my child's triggered, I'm going to, you know, rub their head, get them a drink of water, and recite the alphabet or sing their favorite song. I mean, I don't know what it is. I'm making it up. But
right.
you see what I'm
right.
doing? It's kind of like you're taking action, and taking action gets you out of that I don't know what to do. I feel helpless. And it's the same thing with any of us. When we feel helpless, that we can't do something, finding anything productive to do can be a motivator to move us forward.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to take us back a little bit. I'm going to do a detour back to celebrating because I think this is a great way to talk about it because I think that you highlighted really well, Carrie, what gets in the way of celebrating because there's real crazy stuff going on all the time.
Right.
So maybe Lana or Wendy, what gets in the way for you in terms of trying to celebrate with your kids?
Sometimes our
this is
schedule.
Lana.
Oh, go ahead, Lana.
Oh, no, that's okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, sometimes our schedule, like, because, like, well, I mean, we've been here 6 months now, but before we moved, I was really good about, we were very close to the zoo and some parks and a trail. So I, like, usually after homework or something, I would say, okay, now let's go do something. My son, he loves to walk. I mean, we could spend 5 hours walking, and he would have no problem. He would be fine. That's when I notice he's, like, not getting in trouble at all, pretty much, is when we're walking or we're going to a museum and or, like, just taking them to the park or doing some kind of trail. So we found some new ones out here, but with this winter, we haven't had a lot of time to do all of that. So, but, yeah, like, it, for Sean, especially, whenever I have him walking and, like, exercising and letting that out, I feel it's easier to talk to him, and he's behaving, and we're doing something productive. So, I wish I could do that every day, but we can't, you know. So.
Well, and my guess is that part of what's going on for him is the brain health. And it's the, you know, we talk about activating the brain. And so it's, you know, finding ways to activate his brain. And, you know, in our house, we have one of those little mini trampolines. And, you know, in the winter, you can still jump up and down on the mini trampoline. Or you can, you know, do jumping jacks. So you can do, you know, we have an island in the kitchen. And sometimes the kids will chase the dog around the island in the kitchen. And that's kind of a good way to get some exercise and some energy. And let go of some energy. But if you're noticing that brain health is a good thing that's supporting and helping him to be more present and more connecting, it's a great thing to consider.
Right.
Lana, what were you going to say?
Well, you were asking, like, what gets in the way of celebrating. I think, like what I was saying before, I mean, for me, the biggest challenge is being caught up in the to-do list, the keeping, you know, the idea that I have to keep him on track and, you know, that these things have to get done, you know, X, Y, and Z has to get done in order to be prepared for the next day. And so I can get caught up in that. And then there's not much time left over for me to just kind of be spontaneous and celebratory, playful, you know, and that's definitely where I'm really trying to be headed and, you know, to be different, to find more time to be like that.
Yeah, no, and that makes perfect sense because we get very task-oriented. You know, it's like we got to get this done, we got to get that done. We get very, you know, focused on that, and I think a lot of times what can be helpful for folks is if you plan, I'm going to say this, plan to be spontaneous, you know, and put time in your calendar and put on your checklist, celebrate, you know, or whatever it is, it becomes part of the job. And I think that the step before that is to see how celebrating adds value. And so if you can see that jumping up and down and having a good time and celebrating, you know, what does go right, motivates you, motivates your child, it can make it easier to take the steps and to make the commitment because it does make it easier. It was like Wendy was just describing, if you can get the exercise in, it makes life go easier. It's the same sort of thing. If you can get the celebration in, a lot of times it makes life go easier.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that resonate with you, Lana?
Well, very well. In fact, I have, I was just thinking, I have a to-do app on my phone, which has become my kind of headquarters. And I don't just have to-dos on it. I also have what I call to-be, like who do I want to be? What do I want to be? And so in that app, I'll put down, like, for instance, I have one that says, choose a way to celebrate Gabe for the next 3 days. And then what I'll do, I have a link, a URL, and I'll actually click on the link, and it'll take me to a document that came up maybe on your forum, the Facebook communication between parents a long time ago, and it was a website that lists 100 ways to praise someone, praise your kid.
Yep. Yep.
And it was on, like, a father website.
Yeah, no, and I was going to post that again with the notes from this conversation. So, yes, it's 100 ways to praise your kid.
Yeah, and it's awesome. So, I mean, and there's a lot in there. It's like, some of them, of course, I've used a million times, and then there's other ones that are just like, wow, I never really thought about coming at it that way, you know? And so it's been a real eye-opener. So every 3 days that comes up on my phone app, and I click on a link and I choose something, and then, like, I might choose two or three kind of in the same family of praises, and then I'll try to incorporate them into my time with him, you know, so that even if I don't use the exact words, the point is that I've got, it's like reminding me, and now I'm looking to find ways to bring that in, whether I use those words or something else. At least the intent is there and the action is there.
Right, right. Well, and I think that's the piece of it, is that sometimes it's about making the commitment and seeing the value in it, because I think that's the piece of it, is that if you don't connect to why do it, it's easy to fall back into the whole, okay, I got to get all these other 7 million things done.
Right. But I mean, you know, as my relationship is changing, I'm feeling more comfortable with him, and, you know, he's 14, so it's time for him to become more independent and more, you know, maybe a little less connected to mom and dad and more connected to friends, you know, the whole individuation process. And I'm definitely saying, okay, that's fine, but I want, you know, but I want us to have fun in the moments that we are connecting, you know, as much as we can. And I want his memories of me to be that. I don't want them to be like, mom was the best executive functioning role, you know, the person who was the executive functioning for me my whole life. Yay. You know, that's like, woohoo. So, yeah. So, yeah, you start to get rewarded for those changes you make.
Right, right. So we talked a little bit about what gets in the way. Any other thoughts about celebrating and championing? What about that word champion? What would it be? And I guess, Carrie, I'm kind of called to ask you this question. What would it mean to be your child's champion in the midst of this challenge that you're going through right now?
I really don't to support him. And try to find the best way to help him be his best, which, you know, that's what I'm continually trying to do by, you know, the coaching and the therapy sessions and, you know, the research I do on my own. I guess ultimately I hope to be his champion that way, although it's just, you know, there's lots of hills and valleys along the way to becoming that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I feel like I'm doing a great job at it right now, at being his champion.
Yeah. Well, and I guess that there's kind of two levels, because one is the you know, you're in there in the thick and you're fighting the battle with him, right? And so then the other piece is kind of the stepping back and kind of the, you know, if you're going to step back and play that role where you're looking at the situation and you're being his champion, and maybe it's about holding the vision for his future and holding that positive vision and you know, trusting in what can be for him. And I know that it's hard from where you're sitting right now, but it's kind of like, if you can find a story that you can tell yourself that you're willing to consider is true, because we don't know. I mean, the reality is we don't know what our kids' future is going to be like.
Right.
But we can find a way to create that vision that we can reasonably believe is true and focus in on that. I think that's part of the power of being our child's champion, is holding that space for brilliance and happiness and success and whatever that is that we want for our kid.
Right.
So what would that practically look like for you?
I guess I'm just a little bit confused by the question. Just, you know, remembering that, you know, his good qualities and I'm just kind of confused by the question and how to answer it, I guess. I mean, if I'm completely honest.
Okay.
So could you rephrase it for me, maybe?
Sure. So if you were going to be, if you were going to hold the vision for a positive future for your son, and that's what being a champion is,
right?
What would that look like in your world?
For him? My vision for him, is that what you're asking? Or how would I get him to that vision?
Not how you would get them there, but what would that vision be?
I want him to be happy and, you know, well-adjusted and a productive member of society. That's what my vision for him is. That's
okay.
Always the vision. You know, it's something that I, you know, I just want him to be happy and well-adjusted and be able to, you know, function in society.
Okay. And so as given where you're at right now on a scale of 1 to 10, how bought in are you to that vision?
How what am I to that vision?
Bought in.
Right now?
Yeah.
As to what I'm seeing in him currently, or just...
How willing are you to consider that that's possible? Scale of 1 to 10.
I'd say right now probably 5.
Okay.
There's just too many unknown variables right now that I just don't feel that confident about it right now. But as I said, you know, we had a good couple of months and you know, I may be in a very different mindset a week from now. I'm just having a particularly bad day today. So So right now, I'd say a 4 or 5 right now, but I do like to think that that's just kind of the mood I'm in today. Generally, I like to think that, you know, I'm around an 8 or a 9 and that, you know, we're doing the right things and that he will be happy and well-adjusted, as much as any adult can be. Obviously, you know, life isn't perfect, but so...
I don't know how this, if this applies to you or not, but I've heard other people say, to fake it till you make it. You know,
right.
So if you have days where you're an 8 and today you're a 4, you know, find
right.
a way to pretend that you're an 8 because you
right.
might wake up in the morning and you'll be back up there.
Right, exactly. And, you know, when I think about the fact that he's able to get through a school day and, you know, I am relying on that right now, that makes me feel a little more confident. If I, you know, kind of focus in on that, I would say I'd go up on the scale because, you know, he's out in society able to, you know, do what he has to do. So that's kind of where I am with that.
Okay. Well, we've got about 10 minutes left. Let's start with our wind down. And so, Carrie, what we do, there's 4 questions that we answer as a debrief from each of the sessions. And they're in the workbook. I don't know if you have the workbook with you, but you can go back and do this afterwards if you'd rather. But the first one is, what did I get clear about or learn today? Second one is, how can I apply this to my life right now? The third one is, what is a realistic action step for me to take? And the last one is, how can I set myself up for success? So take just a minute, everybody, and write down a few notes for yourself in terms of what was most important for you in today's conversation and what you want to do with it as you go into your next couple of weeks with your family. And then once you kind of have that, then and if you want to share it with a group, we'd love to hear what your thoughts are.
This is Lana. I think for me, what I'd really like to do is have kind of a more of a celebratory family environment. You know, anxiety kind of runs pretty strong in our home. And I think it's easy to kind of have the worries that come up for us, you know, around successes, around, you know, the necessary achievements of school, et cetera. And sometimes all of that can kind of become the personality of the household. And mm-hmm. I think that as I'm starting to see the interchange for myself of refocus, shifting my focus to being more celebratory, that I think my next step would be to kind of work more on shifting the household personality, the dynamic, that it's becoming more of a house-wide way of seeing things.
Yeah, so if you were going to do three things to help shift the environment to more of a celebration-oriented environment, what would those be?
Good question. I might need a little help here. I mean, I was thinking, like, at first, like, I thought I could talk to my husband about it. I mean, he knows that I've been thinking about these things. So I've been sharing it with him. But I kind of don't know, Diane. I mean, it's like I saw the need for it as we were talking tonight, but I don't know exactly how to make that shift. I mean, because I know that starting with the self is the most important thing. And I am doing that.
Right.
So
you're celebrating yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also, but like, I'm also making the changes as I like focus outward. As I look outward, I'm also, you know, celebrating Gabe more and trying to be more playful and hold my tongue a lot. yeah.
So do you want some ideas from the group?
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, Carrie or Wendy, you have some ideas for Lana?
Oh, God.
No, not really. I'm trying to think.
I really like the idea how the way you put it, that to make the whole house more celebratory, because I've been trying to work along those lines, like no screaming, no yelling. So, like when I let Sean play, I give him a time. And you know, he's been late a few times and pushed the boundary, but I've decided I'm not screaming. I'm just going to take something away. There's no use yelling. So I like how you put it about the whole house celebrating. And so, yeah, I would like some ideas on that, too. Besides just our normal routines of birthday parties and going out and whatever we're going to do that week, you know, so besides the normal.
Well, and celebrations don't have to be big, giant things. They don't have to, it's always fun to have a party, but sometimes it's just, you know, the reward sometimes in our house is you get to pick the radio station on the way to school.
Right.
There's always an argument about that at our house. But it's, you know, I think that the, Lana, if I can share one idea, one of the things that we did, you know, we were talking earlier on about the 3-to-1 ratio, about how every time you say a correction, you have to have three, you know, you have the balance has to be 3 positive things to every 1 correction. We were on vacation, and we had this situation where people were being really hypercritical of each other, and so we had this thing where anytime you said something negative about one of the other family members, you had to quickly say 3 things you liked about them. You know, and kind of switch it around and counter it and balance it out. And so we really kind of focused in on that. And it was a good challenge for them. And I challenged my kids not to always say the same one all the time. Yeah, I like your hair. you know, it was something like that. But just to kind of get everybody involved in focusing on the positive.
Oh, that's good.
That is a good one.
Yeah, I'm going to try it.
Okay. So anybody else, what are you going to focus in on for the next couple weeks? What's going to be your big takeaway from our conversation today, Wendy?
Oh, wow. You know, it's been, you know, I'm in Chicago, so the winter has just been brutal. So we're supposed to get a 40-degree weekend, so we're going to do something. But I am going to try and maybe use that 3-to-1, but I have a question for, it might be a little off topic, but, you know, I've known all for 3 or 4 years now that he has the ADHD and the hyperactivity, and I know the exercise. But I found out that they're thinking that he might have some mild Asperger's too, and I guess that's kind of common. So I didn't know if, and the school says once they say, oh, well, we don't see that, but his therapists say, oh, no, we think he does. So I am trying not to be negative and just go with the flow for a little bit. So I, you know, like I said, with the boundaries we're working on, and so I didn't know if you had any thoughts on that, if is that like a common thing or... Oh.
Well, and I don't, you know, I don't want to pretend to be an expert, but you know, I am aware that it's that I've heard people say that it is part of the same spectrum, and that it's you know, that there's a lot of kids with ASPs that are misdiagnosed as ADD and vice versa, and I think it depends because you know, significant emotional intensity with an ADD-er might look pretty close to, you know, a more moderate autism or Asperger. It just depends on the child. But it sounds like you're getting some therapeutic clarification. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, like, the school, like, he holds it in all, like she was saying, he holds it in all day. So, but I'm seeing things, you know, like, I'm saying that I'm not sure, but his psychiatrist and the therapist are like, we think he's got something going on besides just the ADD. They're saying it's a dual. So now I'm even more confused, so I'm trying to stay positive about, you know, the whole
situation.
And so
I guess the question is, what is it about the diagnosis that most concerns you?
Well, because the school, mostly because in school, I don't know how this is going to, does he, you know, because they're going to learn a little differently, or is it dual? I guess it's not so much like a stigma that I'm, because, you know, we face that with the ADD anyway, so I'm not really worried about that. And he does have some close friends that don't care, like, if he's quirky or not. So, you know, I feel good that way, you know, that we have friends, he has friends. So I'm just worried about how to help him better. So be it in school or, and then how do I know the days, like, when he's having the ADD moment versus ASD moment? So, and
right.
Do I deal with that differently?
Clarify for me where you're at in the process. You have had a diagnosis, or you're not. You're in the process of getting clarification.
Well, the psychiatrist did a background, and we've been seeing her for a year and a half, a couple years. So he does some things in her office because he's more comfortable. And the therapist says that he thinks he's got that also, like together with the ADD. That just like he brings out these symptoms every now and then, you know, but I went to a camp to interview for a camp for him for ADD, and the lady told me that it's not a whole diagnosis because we didn't do a whole IQ test, we didn't do some other academic testing for that, and I'm like, okay, so now I'm even more confused.
I'm not really sure where
I am in that process.
And I'm wondering, so I'm gonna pause you because I want to wrap up the call, but then let's, do you want to stay on for just a second afterwards and let's figure out how to get you some help? So okay. So any other thoughts from folks in terms of what they're going to do? Carrie, you want to make a commitment to where you're going to head from here?
Well, I mean, I think the call actually in the end has helped me get back on track and just remember, you know, we've been big on labeled praise. We actually have a reward system in place. Just remember to, you know, I like the, we try to praise a lot, but as far as, you know, when I'm pointing out something he's done wrong, I like the, you know, naming three things, you know, praising three other things that he's done right. So, I think it's helped improve my mindset a little bit, trying to remember to celebrate the good things and praise the things that he does do right. So I'm going to try to focus on that again. Like I said, I think today was just a pretty bad day. But
well, and the reality is that we're going to have bad days, and it's you know, figuring out what, you know, if you want to just let yourself have a bad day or whether you want to shift it. And it sounds like you had an unexpected surprise because you did get a little bit of a shift today.
Right, right.
Good. All right. Have a great week, everybody, and we're on in 2 weeks, and the conversation is about compassion.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.